Am I on? Yeah, I am. There we go. All right. Turn your Bibles to Matthew 1, 18 through 25. If not there, in your Bibles, look in your bulletin. And maybe I'll sit up here so you can see me a little bit better. I'm not the tallest of people. We sing in a choir in Redlands, and I always have to stand in the front row. It absolutely stinks. I'm sitting because we stand for 3 hours in our concert. No, I'm sitting because I want to be relaxed. There's not a lot of you, so I just want to be kind of talking with you today, not preaching at you, okay? Let me read the scripture to you. The title that's in my Bible says, Joseph accepts Jesus as his son. Understand, this hasn't happened yet, so he's accepting the concept of Jesus being his son. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. If you don't know what that means, neither do I. Okay, that's just some miracle that took place. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David. I want to stop there for a second. This is from the book of Matthew. Matthew is the politician. Everything has to be legal for Matthew. So he's writing about the legal rights. This is the legal right to the throne of David through the man Joseph. That's what Matthew is about. Luke is a historian. Luke just talks about what happened. But this is very important. He said, she will give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus because he will save the people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home to be his wife, but did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Deciding is a course of life that we all have to take. We have to make decisions. We've prayed about some decisions some of us have to make this morning. It's a course of action. It can be a difficult thing. Sometimes we have a long time to think about the decision. We can do the pros and cons. We can think it all through, and we can say, this seems right and this seems wrong. We can pray about it. We can talk about it. But a lot of times in our lives, decisions are now. Right, Martha? They're now. Right, Don? They're now. You're faced with a medical issue or an emergency issue of some sort, and the decision has to be now, and that's when our priorities get tested, and that's when our whole concept of who we are gets tested, and that's when our values get tested. When we have to sit down in a minute and make a decision, and we have to try to get together all the information, and we have to say a quick couple of prayers and hope that perhaps maybe we can get this right, that's when we draw upon what we know to be true. And if we don't know what is truth, then we will go all over the place trying to make all sorts of decisions, and it'll be just this chaotic mess. And in my life, I've seen people now in ministry. I've seen people who have a basic set of standards in their lives. This is how God works. This is what I believe. And so when the crisis comes, they don't fall apart. It's a crisis. There's anxiety. There's stress. There's questions. But they make a decision based upon what they know to be true from God and God's Word. And their goal is to glorify God in it. Those that don't have that as their basis, it's chaos. It's a chaotic mess. And they just don't know what to do. This is one of those situations for Joseph. What should he do when he finds out about his wife-to-be being pregnant? Doesn't have a lot of time to decide. Because guess what? She's pregnant. Guess what? People are going to know. What will he do? Will he do what the law says to do with those who've been caught in adultery and stone her to death? It's an option. Do you think he didn't weigh that option? Do I just dismiss this thing and say I don't even know her and move some other place? That's an option. You can run away from it. He can publicly divorce her and embarrass her and her family. That's an option. He could just quietly divorce her. That's another option. What would he do? Well, we know from the scripture that he wanted to quietly divorce her, quietly end this relationship. But God had other ideas. Today, as we face decisions in our lives about Christmas and about life in general, it's really easy to become disappointed and really get distracted about life. And so I want to talk about the distractions we can face as we walk through the Christmas holidays and into our lives into 2017. Did you ever think you'd say 2017? Yeah, that's kind of amazing, isn't it? Let's pray. Father, teach us how to avoid the distractions today. From these humble words of mine, may your glory be seen, may your word be revealed to us and apply to our lives, whatever situation we're in Jesus' name, amen. How to avoid the distractions and make it a great Christmas and a great life. There's three distractions I want to talk about. Distraction number one is the distraction called disappointment. Way back when we were faced with our major trial of life and our doctor said your baby is not going to make it, we were faced with some issues. And shortly after that, I ran across a book. In fact, I was introduced to the book by a friend of mine, Ralph Cook, who's now gone to be home to be with the Lord. It was simply called Disappointment with God. It was written by Philip Yancey. And in that book, he explores three questions that Christians are afraid to ask. But I was rereading some of the parts that I had highlighted, because when I go through a book, I highlight it because those are the things that stick out to me. And he wrote this in his prologue to the book. On writing this project, this book, he said, I found for many people there's a large gap between what they expect from their Christian faith and what they actually experience. I want to read that again. That there's a large gap between what they expect from their Christian faith and what they actually experience. They look at the promises of triumph and success. They expected to see dynamic evidence of God and working in their lives, but they didn't always have those dynamic things going on. Disappointment occurs in our lives when the actual experience that we have in our life doesn't match up to what we think should be going on in our lives. Now, I get that. That's why there's so many people that have walked away from God. And that's why there's so many people that go to the extreme in the other direction and think that everything, if you're not praying then and you don't have these things, that means you don't have any faith. In my book, they're both wrong. Because in the reality is, in the middle of there someplace, that big, large area in the middle, there's this lingering wonder of what is God up to? And is life matching up to what I want it to be matched up to? And so Joseph was faced with this decision. Maybe you're faced with some issues. Maybe it's just the investments that you had aren't panning out. Maybe the job you have isn't what you expected it to be. Maybe you have a chronic illness. Maybe old age has set in and you just don't know sometimes. Maybe you're having personal internal struggles with sin. Maybe you've received some unfair treatment in your life. Maybe your life is just on that verge of some doubts. And you're kind of disappointed because you thought it was going to be a little bit different. I think that's what Joseph was facing. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant. Wow. That's a life situation, isn't it? It's a real life situation. What do we do with this one? What would you do? What does he do? I gave you the options earlier what he could do. What is he going to do? So here's some signs of when we're disappointed with what God is doing. Now, I don't want us to take a poll, because I'll raise my hand. You probably all raise your hand because that's the right thing to do. But think about a time when you've been disappointed about something. And it was a real life situation. You wondered, God, where are you in this? Have you ever thought that? God, where are you in this thing? The first sign of disappointment is that there's a deep sign and a deep sense that this isn't working out the way I thought it should. It's not working out the way I planned. I remember watching the movie The Natural. You ever see that movie? that starred in Roy Hobbs, is the story about a fictional story about a man who played baseball, who got waylaid, sidelined for some reason, from 21 to 38 years of age. There's nothing that we know about. He just did, and he traveled around. And then he met his old flame from high school, who later on we discovered was really the mother of his child. And he said, she said, "What happened, Roy?" And he said, "Life didn't turn out the way I expected. Life just didn't turn out the way I expected." You ever feel that way? Yeah. There's a deep sense that this isn't working out the way I thought it should. My mom said that several times. It just isn't what I expected to happen. It just isn't there. Here's the second sign. Feeling distressed over uncomfortable and unneeded life situations. Usually we'll say, what next is going to come? And we feel distressed about this. And the stress level starts to climb. How many of you ever felt the stress level climb inside? There's a decision that has to take place. There you are. He's up here. There you are, and you're just kind of, and the stress is just overwhelming. You ever feel that way? And you wonder, God, why? Why am I going through this? You promised this to be stress-free. Wait a minute. No, he didn't. He promised a way to deal with the stress. He promised a way to deal with the stuff, but he didn't say stress is not going to come. By the way, stress is a normal part of life. I was reading another book the other day, talked about stress, the stress myth, it's called. And in that book, the author writes about stress. He says there's two types of stress, distress and eustress. Not you, but EU stress. Look that word up in the dictionary, it's not there. Distress is harmful stress. It's what happens to us when we try to take all the burdens of life and try to deal with it on our own levels, our own understanding. We're trying to figure this thing out, and we can't do it, and we get all stressed out. That's where the word stressed out comes from. Eustress is a word that's used to describe what happens when people are lifting weights to get their muscles strong. Yeah, go like this, and just make your fist, and go like this, and try to, you know, pretend you're lifting 5 pounds. Well, after... okay, 1 pound, okay, and you go, after a while your muscles start to get sore, right? That's eustress. You're building the muscle. Well, life situations come along to not distress us, but to build our strength, our faith. And when we allow God to work in our lives in such a way that the stress comes along, and we go, okay, God, this is just another muscle, faith muscle thing building that you're doing in my life. We've done it. So how do we deal with this? How do we overcome these feelings of being disappointed and distressed in our lives? By learning to respond to life and not react to life situations. Learning to respond and not react. You know, in Proverbs it says, a gentle word turns away wrath. The other day, Cindy dropped a bottle. So what's going on over there? She says, don't get on my back. I could have simply said, are you okay? And it would have been a whole different thing. Right, Cindy? It would have been a whole different conversation that went on in our house that day. Empty nesters can argue a lot better now. I just discovered that. It's very true. When you learn to respond to the life situation and not react... That's just a theme that's all throughout the Bible. Will you respond in faith or react in negative feelings and anxiety? Hi, sweetie. She wants to come to me now. So there's the first little distraction. Here's a second distraction. It's the word disillusionment. That's a difficult word as well. Along the spiritual way, one author wrote, is this. We become disillusioned with teachers, institutions, paths, even spirituality itself with our supposed progress. We even become disillusioned with ourselves. One of my favorite authors that I read, a devotional guide, is just regularly wrote this about one of his, about disillusionment. He said, however, the longer we go through life, if we don't leave it checked, he says, our experience of disillusionment may actually leave us cynical and overly critical in our judgment of others. Our experience of disillusionment may actually leave us cynical and overly critical in our judgment of others. It takes place in our lives all the time. And if we don't keep a focus on who God is, we will become disillusioned. By the way, my favorite author is Oswald Chambers, if you wonder who that is. My utmost for his highest is a devotional. It was written back in the 19-teens. Great devotional. Here's how Joseph dealt with this disillusionment, because he was, can you imagine being that disillusioned, saying, Mary, and going to Mary's father and going, argh! And to God going, all I wanted was a simple life here in Nazareth. That's all I wanted. Building my house, I wanted to marry this girl. She's betrothed to me. Now she's pregnant. And in my mind, in his mind, that means she went to bed with somebody else. Because that's the only thing you could think. But after he had considered all these things, it says, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, by the way, an angel appears to Mary person to person because women can handle that stuff. That a dream, men have to have a dream because we're just kind of dense and we don't get it, you know. Appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid. You want to put a word in there for the word afraid? Do not be disillusioned. To take Mary home to be as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Oh, well, that makes it just fine then. I get that. I understand that. No, he didn't get it. She will give birth to a son, and you have to give him the name Jesus, because he will save the people from their sins. All this took place, it says, through the prophet, to fulfill what the prophet said, that a virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Do you see what happened here? The life situation that came along, God pointed out to Joseph in no uncertain terms, this is what the scriptures say, and Joseph said, oh. Because in his mind already he had settled the fact that God spoke to him and to us through his word. See, God speaks to us not all the time in our senses, and all he doesn't all speak to us that makes sense, but sometimes he speaks to us and it doesn't make sense. I was counseling with a couple getting married, and I'm going to go back online and counsel with them again, and I asked them the question, what do you want the most? And the guy said, sex. You know. And the gal said, I just want to be loved. And I said, would you be? And then I said, really, really, guy, what do you want? He said, I want to be heard. Said, really? Well, let's go read Ephesians chapter 5. And you know, in Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 18 to the end of the chapter, it talks about that. It talks about women, love your husbands, listen to them. They want to be heard. Wives, husbands, love your wives. Cherish them. Said, isn't it interesting that God already has ordained in the scriptures exactly what you desire in your heart? Wow, yeah. What did Joseph do? What did God do in that mixed? And that moment, he took what he knew to be true from God's word and applied it to him. Here's how we become disillusioned, though. Trying to make sense of life from my own finite understanding. Finite means small. Joseph was considering things. I want to give you the Greek word, and you can see if you can figure out what the word is from English that we got from this. Logizomai. Logic, logistics, logic. He was trying to use his logic to figure this thing out. Well, sometimes, folks, faith defies human logic. Sometimes. I'm not going to say all the time, but most of the time, faith isn't always logical. And so it didn't work for him. He was trying to logically considering all the facts and trying to do all the stuff, and it just nothing matched up. And you had one choice in this thing. If I wanted to be respectful to her, I have to divorce her quietly. The second thing that happens is what God is saying doesn't make sense. That's two kind of sides of the same coin, isn't it? My logic doesn't make sense. What God says doesn't make sense. And so I'm trying to put my logic, my finite thinking, into God's word and say, this is a, no, that doesn't make sense. Like, that can't be true. Why? Because I say so, and God says, but it is true. So you have see the conflict, and before too long, you become disillusioned with things. How do we overcome this? We overcome the feelings of disillusionment by allowing what God says to overrule how I feel. Are you starting to see a pattern here? The first one is that I learned to respond and not react. And now I'm saying, okay, God, I want what you say to rule in my heart and my mind in such a way that it overrules my feelings. I want to give you two illustrations of couples from a long time ago. First church I was ever in, one couple had been together for a long time. Something happened, and they were having their problems. And so they were in for counseling. Another couple was a younger couple who were having their problems. This couple said, we've been together so long, this doesn't make sense, but what I'm thinking doesn't make sense either. And so they were trying to work through the whole thing, and finally the guy finally just said, something else is wrong. This isn't her. And his desire was to, his relationship with his wife was so important to him that he didn't want to end the marriage. And so he said, something has to be, and they found out that something was wrong medically with her. The young couple said, you did this. This doesn't make any sense. And they split up. There was no truth in their lives to their relationship. It was shallow. These folk had a relationship that was worth investigating to keep it. If you have a relationship with God, it's worth investigating to keep it, not to just throw it out the door. It may not make sense, but God, please use your word to overrule how I feel. It says it in here. So I want to, but you know, check it out. Most of us won't do that. When we're faced with a stressful situation, we'll get mad or worry instead of just saying God's in charge. That's disillusionment. The final word, and this is the three D's of Christmas. That was what I was going to call this, but I just changed the name. The final distraction is demandingness. Can't find that word in the dictionary. I made it up. You know what demanding is, though, right? Being demanding. You know how Christmas can be so very demanding. I've talked to several of you and talked to several people in the choir, and they have these lists that they're getting from their grandkids now about what they want. And the kids are demanding these things. Yeah. And they want them. They don't get them, they'll be disappointed and disillusioned and distraught. So there's a sense of, and you watch TV and all this stuff that you're seeing, now we have a filter to put it through because we're a little bit older, but all this stuff that we see makes us feel guilty if we're not getting it. And it's demanding of us a certain thing that we have to do. And I wish they stopped taking those fancy car commercials off TV. Who can afford those things anyway, right? I got wishes for Christmas? No, I got to wish it in my wildest dreams to get a car for $45,000. Only $45,000. Only $8,000 down and $450 a month. That's all it is. Yeah. So, but there's a sense of demanding that takes place. It's demanding on us. And that's what Joseph felt. He had doubt now through some of his disappointment. He had a choice to make. And I can't imagine, the word got out that Mary was pregnant, and people were ending up on Joseph's doorsteps. I can just bet this. First of all, they were shunning Mary, probably 14 years of age or 15 years of age. They're shunning her, and now they're going to Joseph and saying, what are you going to do? And demanding of him an answer and a response. And he was just thinking, trying to logically figure this thing out. God has spoken. What's he going to do? Because there's two sides of being demanding. And demanding is a list. Insisting on a direction and doing my own thing. In other words, I want to get advice from you, but I'm still going to do what I want to do. So it's insisting on some direction, but then doing my own thing. I said this to a guy the other day. What should I do? I said, you never listen to me anyway. Why should I tell you? Here's what I think you should do. And then when it doesn't work out, we blame others because it doesn't go my way. Well, it's really your fault. Or the ultimate, it's really God's fault. But here's what Joseph did. Get this point, okay? When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home to be his wife. What's our theme for the year? Let's do this. What's the verse of the year? Do not be hearers of the word only and deceive yourselves, but do what God's word says. That's from James chapter 1. You got it? Do you remember that now? It used to be up there. You guys got lazy because we have, what's our theme? Joy to the world. So now, what's our verse? Come let us adore him. No. It's our verse is, don't just be hearers only of the word, but do what it says. What did Joseph do? He did what it said. Yeah. How do we overcome demanding in certain lives? By being a doer of God's word. Somewhere it has to show up. This is what I believe. It has to. I want to say this boldly to you because this is the truth. In my experience with people who have walked away from Christ, this is the break point. It doesn't make sense. I'm not going to do that. Why would God do that to me? When all the scripture says, believe and trust and walk with me, they're saying no, and they no longer become doers of the word. And there's a break point at some point. Now, there are things building up to that, but at some point, just like my cousin said, I just stopped believing. I stopped doing what God said. Didn't make sense. And Joseph had a choice. And you know what? You and I have a choice today. To be doers of the word or just, it was good what he said. I like what he said. Didn't make me feel too good today, but I'm not here to make you feel good. I'm not here to make myself feel good. I want to be nice to you guys, but that's not my call. Be doers of what God says, not hearers only. So here are the three main points. You got it? Number one, how do we overcome our feelings of disappointment? By responding to life instead of reacting to it. We take a step back. How do we overcome our feelings of disillusionment? By allowing what God says to overrule what I feel. And how do I deal with this whole thing of life demanding on me my things is that I become a doer of the word and not a hearer only. All three weave together. Because they all three revolve around choices I make. Decisions to follow God or not follow God. A little kid, we sang this song, I had decided to follow Jesus. I had decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back, no turning back. Though none may follow, still I will go with you. No turning back, no turning back. That's what Joseph did. The question is, what are you and I going to do? Let's pray. Thank you for listening to me. This small group, but you guys are great. Thank you, God, for loving and caring for us and giving to us direction from your word. Thank you that you never leave us alone. And in those darkest moments when we're disappointed and disillusioned and distracted by all the stuff around us, when we want to walk away from you, you call us back to you. And you give us hope, not because you do something for us, but because you show us your love through your word. And we're reminded again of what your word says, and we live by it. We do what it says. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen. I was listening to Army Navy yesterday. Right? Army has lost 14 straight games to Navy. They asked them, what's going to happen? What's going on? Are you guys kind of disillusioned with this whole thing? And what are you going to tell your guys? And he said, I'm going to tell them to do what I've taught you to do. Army won yesterday.
Yeah, they were so excited.
just going to tell, just do what we've taught you to do. Be doers of the word, not hearers only.
Amen.
Let's stand and sing this closing song.